Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. I'm bartender Champagne. We have some late breaking news. Apparently, President Obama, Barack Obama, has initiated and signed into legislation his 2,733rd executive order requiring all combat troops in Afghanistan not only to read the Marengue warning to the Taliban before they go into combat, but they also have to sing the new combat song. This new song has been introduced as part of the elimination of the requirement to protect gays in the military, don't ask, don't smell. And lieutenants serving in Afghanistan can now wear coconut shredded boas around their neck in a vibrant red. Okay, you Hollywood warriors, let me hear your war chant. Let me hear your war cry. More makeup on that war face. Hearing that battle cry, doesn't it make you want to set up a machine gun nest on the enemy's flank? We had two casualties in Afghanistan last night. They were both killed by an interpreter before the rest of the GIs turned their guns on the interpreter. I think you're going to see a lot of that in this war. I think that Al-Qaeda and the Taliban have infiltrated the Afghan army to a point where it's going to be very unnerving, and you're going to see more of that. They'll call it friendly fire, but it's really not. It's not friendly at all. Somebody shoots you, and that's not friendly fire. I flash back to a great American who gave up an $11 million a year football contract to serve his God and country. And the day that he signed up, the left had called him a jerk because he was walking away from $11 million. That's the same left that have no objections to turning their wife over to Robert Redford for $1 million. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see Robert Redford pull that stunt on an Irishman that doesn't tolerate uppityness. Yeah, I'll give you your $1 million. But anyway, let me, so two GIs bought the farm in Afghanistan. Now, I got to tell you something. I want you to pay very close attention to this because you won't find it in the press. When George Bush left office, 461 Americans had sacrificed their lives so you and I could complain about secondhand smoke. They gave their life for God and country, and many of them not barely 19. 461 was the Afghan death rate for American troopers for 8 years. And guess what? President Butterfly, President Abdul Prince Abdullah, is already approaching George Bush's entire 8-year record. And I hear that they're also trying GIs now. Some friendly fire Afghanis opened up on they call it a NATO force, but let's face it, you know what NATO stands for. Nobody there but us. Yeah, NATO, what a joke. I'm going to get into that in a little while. But from a high ground vantage point, they opened fire on NATO troops, and one American called in an airstrike and killed four friendly Afghanis. So now the Afghans want the American to be court-martialed. And you can see that Al-Qaeda works very closely with the ACLU and with the Attorney General. And their goal is to try as many Americans for crimes against inhumanity. And the good news today is that the whack-a-moles chickened out. You know who the whack-a-moles are? They're the Democrats who voted to burn the flag, who in power were strutting around like they were the untouchables. But then the dreaded Scott decision came down in Massachusetts, and Ted Kennedy's throne was given to a Republican. And his name is Scott Brown. And the enemy is now going underground, which is too bad, because when they were out in the open, we could see them for what they were. Now they're going to carefully mince their words. And they'll say the things we want to hear while they sharpen their daggers. So hang in a second, and we'll give you another tune. A bartender, more champagne. I'm playing this next tune. It's a Bobby Darin tune. It's called I'm Beginning to See the Light. Then we're going to talk about communism, because we need to see the light.
I never cared much for moonlit skies, never winked back at fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. Now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused the spark. That's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on a mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. You know I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. And you came and lit that spark. That's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine. never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light.
I was told by a friend at one time that Ho Chi Minh, before he turned to communism, came to the United States to meet with President Wilson. And lately President Wilson has been coming up on talk shows saying that he was a real prejudiced person. And my friend told me, and this is hearsay, you'd have to Google it to find out if it's true or not, that President Wilson wouldn't meet with Ho Chi Minh because his skin was yellow. So what goes around comes around. Had President Wilson met with Ho Chi Minh, maybe 58,000 Americans would be alive today, and Ho Chi Minh would have been a staunch pro-American. So you got to be careful. I always say, never a poop on the help. So let me tell you about communists, because that's why we went to Vietnam. We were afraid the domino theory would take effect. And by the way, the domino theory works. And if you don't believe me, ask Pol Pot. And you could come to the United States and see all the Pol Pot heads. You're about to read a list of 45 goals that found their way down the halls of our great capital back in 1963. As you read this, 39 years later, you should be shocked by the events that have played themselves out. I first ran across this list 3 years ago, but was unable to attain a copy, and it has bothered me ever since. Recently, Jeff Renzi posted it on his site, and I would like to thank him for doing so. So all Americans owe a gift of gratitude to http://www.rense.com. Communist Goals, 1963, Congressional Record, Appendix PP A34-A35, January 10th, 1963, and the goals have never changed. Current Communist Goals, extension of remarks by the Honorable A.S. Herlong Jr. of Florida in the House of Representatives Thursday, January 10th, 1963. So, he addresses Mr. Speaker, Mrs. Patricia Nordman of DeLand, Florida, is an ardent and articulate opponent of communism, and until recently published the DeLand Courier, which she dedicated to the purpose of alerting the public to the dangers of communism in America. And we have a guy who turns up on talk shows, and his name is Jimmy from Brooklyn, and Jimmy from Brooklyn can tell you all about the Communist Party from the days when Joseph Stalin wore diapers. At Ms. Nordman's request, I include in the record, under unanimous consent, the following current communist goals. Jimmy from Brooklyn, by the way, was on Savage the other night, and Mike almost let him finish. Usually Mike cuts anybody who calls real short and commands the conversation. And that annoys me to no end. It becomes a question of who knows more. The person of authority or Mike's ego. Yeah. And I'm tired of hearing about his trip to the to Tahiti, looking for Herb, a guy named Herb. Yeah. Mrs. Nordman's request, I include in the record under unanimous consent the following current communist goals. They have not changed, which she identifies as an excerpt from The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. And you know, there are immigrants that are coming into this country from the Soviet Union and the Ukraine, especially the Ukrainians, because Stalin murdered many of them. And the Poles, Stalin murdered many of those. Did you know that when the Russian troops were on the outskirts of Warsaw, they told the Polish underground to rise up, they were coming right in? And then when the Polish underground rose up and took on the Germans, the Russians waited for the Germans to finish off the Poles, and then they came in and finished off the Germans? How clever, huh? That's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with communists. Communists, remember, have no God. They have no country. They have no soul. So, from The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. Here's 45 objectives of the Communist Party. I want you to pay attention to them, because you'll see how many they have completed already. 1. U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. 2. U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Let me just say, if you make me president, the first thing I'm doing is I'm bringing back the neutron bomb. I want people to know that they won't be around when I bomb their city. Nobody will find a trace of them. I want them to know that. And we'll give all those apartments new tenants. 3. The only thing that terrorists respect is more terror. Develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. Now, you hear them talking about that now with these Gitmo hearings. They want to show the world that we're civilized. We don't have to show the world that we're civilized. The world has to show us that they're civilized. 4. Permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation, and regardless of whether or not items could be used for war. Do you know that in New York City, Teddy Gleason, the chairman or the president of the Longshoremen's Union, would not unload Polish ships that were under communist control? Refused to unload any communist country ship. And what do you got today? You got people that got on a love boat to go to Cuba because they thought that Cuba was going to be opened by the Kennedys, the same Kennedys that closed it, the same Kennedys that betrayed the Cubans at the Bay of Pigs, sold them out, sold them down the river. There's a flag in a stadium in Florida that JFK promised would one day fly over Havana. And you know what? It's like the communists in this country, they can't wait till the last World War II vet is dead so that they can rewrite history. And how bad we were to drop the bomb on people that never would have dropped it on us if they had it first. And the only reason we had it first was God loved us more. 5. Extension of long-term loans to Russia and Soviet satellites. Aren't we doing that now? Aren't we paying the Russians not to give nuclear weapons to Al-Qaeda? 6. Provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. Yeah, and don't forget to crush Honduras if they decide to throw out a communist, to stop a communist takeover. Yeah, Hillary Clinton, she got real tough with Honduras. 7. Grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the UN. That we did already. So that's one of their goals. That's one of their many goals that they've accomplished. How many goals out of the 7 have they accomplished? 8. Set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under the supervision of the UN, which is just an arm of the KGB. And if you want proof of the pudding, all you got to do is ask the Republicans who covered up, you'll love this one, all you lefties, the Republicans who covered up the list of who got oil for food contracts in Iraq. They picked up at least one trailer load, 40-foot trailer load of documents on who was collaborating under the boycott with Saddam Hussein, who was being paid off by Saddam Hussein. They sent the entire truckload of documents to the United States to be interpreted. But you know what happened? They only read 1% of them because Mukti Bar quit the gas station at the Shell station. Yeah, we didn't have anybody on 9-1. There wasn't one Arab interpreter in intelligence in New Jersey. But the governor had a boyfriend. The governor had a boyfriend from Israeli intelligence, and he made him in charge of the security of the state in New Jersey. between kisses. Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable. Blackmail is a big word. And that's what happens when you kiss a page. You get a whole chapter. Yeah, prolonged conferences are to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. 10. Allow all Soviet satellites individual representation in the UN. Well, that one came back to haunt them, but they're starving the Ukrainians again, and they're shutting off the heat and hot water to all the satellite countries during the winter, during Al Gore's global warming. Imagine if Gore had become president of the United States. You know, we'd be missing two cities now, and he would blame it on global warming. Yeah, those are global warming mushrooms. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. My friends, the best thing we could do would be to move the UN to Gitmo and confiscate all diplomatic license plates and cars and get those nukes out of the trunks and the cocaine out of the diplomatic pouches. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. Yeah, they can go to Africa and rape women in villages when nobody's looking. What a crew. So they can go to Serbia and be chained on bridges because they're afraid to fight back. Who are you going to send? The Dutch? The lowland countries? Yeah. The only Dutchman that America has any love for is the guy that was on that Delta flight heading to Detroit. The Flying Dutchman, and you see what kind of notoriety he got. Do you see Hollywood making a movie about him? No. You can watch Avatar, though. You can watch Avatar make $2 billion while they make the Americans look bad. Huh? The subliminal message that you get with your popcorn? I haven't seen the movie, and I've got a feeling when I do see it, I'm going to be very upset that this guy got over on the majority of the American people. Promote the UN as the only hope of mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over easily by the UN, as easily by the UN as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other, as they are now doing in the Congo. In 1963, they were in the Congo. Bongo, bongo, bongo. I don't want to leave the Congo. 12. Resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party and its subsidiary, the ACLU. I put that in there. 13. Do away with all loyalty oaths. That's working. Between 20 and 50% of students in school do not stand and show respect for the American flag and say the Pledge of Allegiance. At least 20%.
Hang in there, boys and girls. We just got to sing a little song here. We're almost up and running. Here we go.
Do not say the pledge. I'd say at least 50% in some schools do not say the pledge, and at least 20% turn their back on the flag. And there's certain ethnic groups that have been programmed to do that. Okay? So you're now building a divided country. Do away with all loyalty oaths. Continue giving Russia access to the U.S. Patent Office so they don't have to rely on people like the Rosenbergs to give them the atomic bomb. 15. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. So they got one party, the Democrats, and they got 20% of the Republicans. Maybe 30% of the Republicans. Who are Democrats, but they can't get accepted into the club, so they run under the Republican banner. And they tell you what you want to hear. Isn't that what a politician does anyway? He tells you what you want to hear. And what does Uncle Tom say? Uncle Tom says, the lips can say anything, but the heart does not lie. Use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. 1963, they were playing this game. They were playing race cards in 1963. Not for the benefit of the blacks, but for the benefit of communism. 17, get control of the schools. This is my favorite, 17. That was my lucky number in school. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. I had a friend through marriage who was a World War II vet. He had seen the concentration camps that Amandine John said never existed. He was a real American. You know, worked for the post office, hardworking guy, come home, have a beer before he went upstairs to his apartment for dinner with a wife who was crazy about him. They had two sons and a daughter, and he sent his two sons to college. He sent all three to college, but his two sons he sent to Northwestern, and they came back. He can't talk to them. They have nothing in common politically. When he used to see me at wedding receptions, he couldn't wait to see me so he could talk to somebody. And there's a lot of old-timers that all have their tongue in their cheek. They can't speak in their own household because they've been labeled a bigot. They've been labeled a patriotic nut. Okay? And they're the ones that gave the legacy to the people who are destroying it. And the people who are destroying it think they're normal. And why do they think they're normal? Because they went to communist cucumber school. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. And I tell you, and I'm going to say it again, when the last World War II vet dies, the communists will rewrite history, the history of the United States. They already started a rumor that Lincoln was gay. How do you like that one? Right? There's nothing sacred with these people. They have no God, they have no country. Get control of the schools, use them, and by the way, in saying the Pledge of Allegiance at the school, a friend of mine is a caretaker in a school, and I happened to mention to him, and he said, well, we're more like a vocational school, and the kids come from blue-collar families, and they're a little more patriotic. So we don't have anybody who doesn't say the pledge. He says, however, the teaching echelon is more like what you're describing. And he says, the flag, the school flag, the American flag that's on the post has been broken for 3 weeks and nobody's fixing it. So the flag doesn't fly there. It hasn't flown there for the last 3 weeks. And you think about that. I got a woman that passes my house and tells me that my flag is not hung properly. And she lives down the block from the school. How come she's not in there telling the principal what's going on here? Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Even in these senior citizens' gated communities, there are people that are harassed for flying the American flag. How's that? You don't think there's conditioning going on? We already been communist shampooed. Now we're getting the conditioner. Get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, and get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in textbooks. 18, gain control of all student newspapers. 19, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations who are under a communist attack. 20, this one is already a given. Infiltrate the press, get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy making decisions. 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Get a Sean Phnom Penn to play a baby raping Marine so that everybody will classify Marines as terrorists. get what's his name, Mickey Rooney, Clooney. Get Clooney, George Clooney, to play a greedy, gold hoarding American in Iraq. Yeah. Unbelievable. Get Tommy Lee Jones to play the father of a son who was butchered and cut up by fellow soldiers when he came back from Iraq. These are the propaganda movies that the communists make to destroy. To destroy the spirit of America. The spirit of America must be chained. Gain control of key positions in TV, radio, and motion pictures. In TV, all you got to do is go to Marine Killing MSNBC. Do you know that when this war began without an act of war? Now, Pearl Harbor, we lost 2,700 Americans. They were mostly military, and it was a military strike. 9-1-1, we lost 2,800 Americans plus 200 unborn babies, which nobody counts, who died with their pro-life mothers. And I guarantee you on that day, their mothers were pro-life. That makes 3,000. The hit on 9-1-1 was all on civilians, by Muslim terrorists, by Arab Muslim terrorists. And if you go look up the pictures, you'll see they're all Arabs and they're all Muslims and they're all terrorists. Okay? And there's a saying in Arabic that the fingers are different, but the hand is the same. Remember that saying, because one day the hand will be holding the knife that cuts your throat. So, Marine Killing MSNBC, they for 1 week, they supported the troops. After that, it was gone. And it was worse throughout the media. Everybody was wearing a flag pin to show that they were Americans and they supported the troops. And all of a sudden, the flag pin started disappearing. Do you know that one of the best flag pin wearers is on Fox, and he's a liberal? Is Juan Williams. Anytime you see Juan Williams, you'll see a flag pin. I used to see it on Britt Yoon, but Britt Yoon is no longer on Fox, and when he showed the last time, he didn't have it. Alan Combs wore it until the 29th of November, or the 28th of November, on 2001. So he held it, he wore it for 2 months after 9-1-1, and then he took it off. And Sean Hannity took his off 30 days later. And you won't see a flag pin on Sean today, and you won't see a flag pin on O'Reilly, who never wore one. And he'll probably tell you, I don't have to wear a flag pin to say I'm patriotic. And you don't have to, Bill. But you know what? You could say you're wearing it for the guys who wear the patch in Afghanistan. And, you know, you're wearing it in support of the guys who do wear it, like the firemen, the police. Yeah. But I know, you're holier than thou. Yeah. Continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression, like Piss Christ. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings. Ever see some of the crap they put up? Substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms, like in the Soviet Union. 23. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan is to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. Well, they really succeeded there. 24. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. I like the one where they say the argument that the communists have used for years is, who can define normal sex? Or who can define abnormal sex? And I usually raise my hand and say, I can. When the goat is on top, who can define? You can define it. If it makes you throw up, it's bad for you. And then they have another one. What's the other one? It'll come to me. Let me read it again. It'll flash my mind. Control art critics. Our plan. Oh, eliminate all laws governing obscenity. Yes. Okay. So here's what we got going in the law, in the takedown of obscenity. When I was growing up, we used to have, the Catholic Church used to have a periodical that they nailed to the back of the church. You could see it when you were leaving Mass. It was called the Legion of Decency. And they would rate movies that should not be seen. And, of course, we used to go in the back and write down all the ones that they rated as obscene. But that's what happens when an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And, of course, our big thing was Jane Russell. You know, she was wearing a new bra in her movie, The Outlaw. That was the big scandal of the time. Today, they have, you can see, what's her name, sliding across the front seat of her car with no panties on. Yeah. Hello, we have a press release. Lorna Doone is going to be exiting her car with no panties on. Be sure to get a close-up. Yeah. The tomato that ate Brooklyn. But anyway, so now what they do is they probe. Communists are always probing. It's like the ACLU. Today they lose a case in court. Now, tomorrow they get more money from George Soros. They go back into court and they try again. And they try a different judge and they try a different state, but they're always chipping away at the Constitution of the United States to destroy the America that you once loved. And so what they do in the media is they'll take a word that they... I started to say JFK. He appointed Jack Valenti to be the commissar, the czar of the media of Hollywood, so that they could keep Hollywood decent. But Jack Valenti was probably the biggest pig in the blanket. And Jack Valenti is now paying for selling out the American morality. He's down there with Teddy Kennedy. They're working a boiler number 3. And they're shoveling more coal in the boiler. But anyway, now you see what they're doing. They are slipping vulgarity piece by piece. What gets accepted becomes broadcast throughout the media network. I'll give you an example. The first word that they tried and got away with was ass. And I remember first hearing it, and I watched TV like a hawk. As 5 minutes after the word ass was used and not fined, all networks were using the word ass. By the end of the night, ass was written in everybody's monologue. And then came piss. And piss was the second word. And 5 minutes later, after there were no objections, it was written into all network monologues. So I'm watching Channel 5 of Fox. And they're talking about Kardashian. Kim Kardashian. And the comment is made that somebody's getting laid a lot. Okay? And I said, and then they talked about penis size. And I said, I can't believe what I'm hearing. We were visiting somebody in a hospital, and that's what was on the TV. I said, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. And everybody looked at me like I had two heads. What's wrong? I'll never forget the first time I saw a younger generation curse in front of an older generation woman. The woman was totally shocked. And this guy was just spewing out garbage. And you know what? He was a good kid. He thought he was talking normal. He thought he was talking normal. And the woman was cringing. And I felt I should have said something, but I just kept my mouth shut. I should have said something. You know, I can remember being with my father when he was pushing a baby carriage and guys were standing on the corner and they were cursing, and he would turn to a crowd of 10 and go, knock it off, there's kids here. Now a guy gets on the bus and lights up a joint and nobody says anything. Except one guy I know who told him to put it out, then put him out. Yeah, there's a few Americans left. Anyway, so let's go back to the takedown of America. So I say to myself, Oh, now they're talking about getting laid and penis size on Channel 5. So I turned to my usual channel, which is the Fox Business channel, and they got Anus in the Morning on, and Anus is talking to Monica Crowley, and he says to Monica Crowley, "You need to get laid." Now, where's the outrage? If he had called her a nappy-headed hoe, he would be shut down and removed from the air and hung, drawn, and quartered. But he turned around to this woman, okay, and he said, "You need to get laid." And her, who has the proper upbringing and knows better, instead of dismissing it and saying, you know, you shouldn't say things like that, she says, I got it covered. We don't want to know. We don't want to know what you had for what kind of soup you had for supper. Give me a break. But that's what's happening. It's the takedown of America, and it hasn't stopped. The whirlpool is getting bigger and faster. Control art critics and directors of art museums. Eliminate all laws governing obscenity. That's 24. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. The latest craze is now they're taking celebrities, not Hollywood celebrities, but political celebrities, and they're changing their names a little bit, and they're putting them in porn shows. Come on. When are you gonna? And of course, they always have that disclaimer. Everybody here is at least 11 years old. We're in trouble. Remember, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And watch out for boys with patent leather shoes. Present homosexuality. That's what they used to teach in Catholic school. The nuns used to tell the girls, beware of boys who wear patent leather shoes because they're looking up your dress. And they used to teach a lesson about petting. If you're petting in a car, they used to have what's called retreats, and a guy would come from an order, from a religious order, and he would give a talk about a retreat. So I'm in a Catholic high school, and this guy is giving a retreat, and he's telling us, you know, I know this couple that were very much in love, and they used to park on the side of a hill, and they used to make out. They used to pet very heavily. And I said, what, they have a dog? And what happened was a runaway truck lost its brakes and crashed into them, and they died, and they went right to hell. So I'm listening to this, and my wife is in another Catholic high school, and somebody is telling the exact same story, and we compared notes later on. So you know what we did? We played it smart. We never parked on a hill. Some people just take religion the wrong way. So, break down cultural standards of morality, and they've done that. They've done that. That's why you got a 55% divorce rate. A woman I know was in a conversation, happened to be in a room where a conversation was taking place between two people of a younger generation, a boy and a girl, and the boy said, yeah, it's ridiculous. Nobody does that anymore. Don't have sex before marriage. She says, who doesn't have sex before marriage? And my wife raised her hand. And they looked at her, and they tried to make excuses for her, you know. And she said, and today they got a 55% divorce rate. And they didn't say anything. And I said to my wife, yeah, they got a 55% divorce rate. And those stats are only based on couples that got married. How about all the people that hooked up that are unhooked? That's another 55%, at least, maybe 80. Yeah. What goes around comes around. And that includes divorce lawyers. Break down, this is number 25, we said break down cultural standards of morality. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. I told you that one, right? They used to say, the liberals used to say, oh, who can determine abnormal sex? And I said, I can, when the goat is on top. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with a social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity. Last night I'm watching TV and the scientists are claiming that Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho, but it was really an earthquake that caused the walls to come tumbling down. I said, look, if an earthquake took the walls down, how come they didn't take Joshua's army down? Yeah, well, they marched around 7 times and they blew the shofar. Oh, I'm not going there. But anyway, eliminate, but let's face it, you know, and I joke, I say that there are at least 1 million holes in the Holy Land. That's why they call it the Holy Land, because the atheists are digging holes to find the bones of Jesus' mother, Elijah, and the prophet Mohammed. And one day we'll see that they announced that they just found the bones of the prophet Muhammad. And they'll take it to a dig site, and they'll have it all roped off, and a crane will be bringing up a yellow taxi cab. And they'll open the door, and there'll be a skeleton in the front seat. And they'll say, yep, that's the prophet Muhammad. And somebody will say, how do you know it's the Prophet Muhammad? Because it says so on his hack license. Yeah, give me a break. Where are we? We're up to number 27, infiltrate the churches, and the churches have been infiltrated. And the Boston Globe led the American Inquisition of the Catholic Church when it accused all priests of being a pedophile. And the Catholic Church offered it up, and they paid everybody off who brought an accusation. It would be like when Iraq invaded Kuwait, and after the Americans drove the Iraqis out, the government of Kuwait wanted to pay the Iraqi people and the Iraqi businessmen for everything they lost. And if there were 100 Kuwaiti businessmen who had shops full of goods, when it came time to getting paid off, there were 1 million. And they all show you the empty storage spaces where they had millions of dollars worth of goods. And the Kuwaitis used an English insurance company, and they just came in and wrote checks, and everybody made out like bandits. And that's why the price of oil is $80 a barrel today. Yeah. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Well, we all remember when AIDS was introduced to the United States and they tried to blame it on the monkeys. But it was the monkey business that brought the AIDS. It wasn't the monkeys. The monkeys just couldn't defend themselves in court. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. Actually, if you contact the Center for Disease Control, they have a whole booklet on the beginning of AIDS. It started in San Francisco, and the second place it turned up was in New York. And it was homosexual men. And don't take my word for it. Call me prejudice. Call me a homophobe. Just go to the Center for Disease Control, and I don't know if they burned all the booklets yet, but ask them for the booklet on the origin of AIDS. So infiltrate the churches, and they've done that successfully, okay? Discredit the Bible, they've done that successfully. You can't find a Gideon Bible in a hotel. Yet, I often say that when you have an atheist that knocks religion, they should be subject to a Gideon drive-by. As they're crossing the street, a car comes around the corner, and they get hit with about 37 Gideon Bibles. And God bless the Gideons, because they've been looking out for America since the day they printed the first Gideon Bible. And even though I never read one in a hotel or a motel, I always felt comfortable when I opened that night table drawer, and inside was a Gideon Bible. And my uncle was a bellman in a Hotel New Yorker, and his biggest tip he found in a Gideon Bible was $100. How's that? And that's when $100 you could live for a month and make your home payment. But anyway, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. And the media shoves it down your throat every day. It's like going to the Colosseum. You turn on your TV, you're the same as the Roman in the Colosseum. Infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Eliminate prayer, this is number 28, of any phase of religious expression in the schools on the grounds that it violates the principle of separation of church and state. I have that famous John Trumbull painting, the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, and four of them are standing in front of Thomas Jefferson, who's sitting at a desk, and they're saying to Thomas Jefferson, my caption underneath, Tom, you made a quillo. It's supposed to be separation of church and snake. Number 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. Let me tell you something. Every fool who was ever born believes he's the latest state of the art. Before fire was invented, man was killing men. Before fire was invented, man was raping women. Before fire was invented, caravans were being sacked, and cities were being sacked and pillaged. Nothing has changed. Today, Americans think they're the latest state of the art. We are going to be looked down upon by future generations for not having explored space the way it should have been explored. And you can see right now they're talking about giving up exploring space. But I'll tell you who's not going to give up exploring space: the Russians and the Chinese. And we'll have another Sputnik moment if we're not careful. We may need to evacuate this entire planet one day because of nuclear war. It won't be because of global warming, unless global warming is in the form of nukes. Discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate. Discredit, number 30, discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Now, there's a guy called Charles something. He's a councilman in the city of New York. The only reason he's a councilman in the city of New York is that office was created by one of these founding fathers so that one day Charles could sit there and mock Thomas Jefferson for liking black women. He makes the comment, Jefferson liked chocolate. What's wrong with chocolate? Haven't you never had a couple of Melamars that have been in the refrigerator? There's nothing wrong with chocolate. Yeah, Charles something or other. And he's a racist. He can't wait to slap a white man, he says. Yet Thomas Jefferson gave him the seat that the pulpit that he shouts from. And you know who I feel sorry for in the black community? The small churches. The small community churches that have no showbiz people. That have no Jessies and no Sharpties. They just have some minister that's trying to take care of his flock. And they're sitting there, and every day they got to walk down Drug Alley to get to church. And they got to send their children out in the street in Drug Alley. You know, I came from a poor neighborhood when it was a poor neighborhood. And then the liberals brought the drugs in, and they reclassified it as a ghetto. But the same people that blacks live in today, I lived in. The Irish Echo, the headquarters for the Irish Echo was 125th Street. I went to school on 125th Street and Convent Avenue. Okay? I used to deliver Willie Mays' laundry. His dry cleaning. I only did it once. But, it's sad. It's sad. It's really sad. When you see guys like Charles Payne on Fox, you can see the promise and the hope of successful blacks. When you see guys like Al Sharpton writing the N-word upside down on his breasts, you see the worst of the worst. And when you see Al Sharpton being presented to the United States of America as a presidential candidate by the party of death, you know this country is so far down the sewer that even, who's the guy in The Tale of Two Cities? He was higher in elevation than what we've become. But anyway, discredit of the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. 30, discredit the American Founding Fathers. You know who my favorite patriot is? I like Patrick Henry, who said, if this be treason, make the most of it, and give me liberty, or give me a corned beef on rye. I like Nathan Hale. Nathan Hale, you have no idea. Nathan Hale, do you know they never found his body? He was buried in an apple, he was hanged in an apple orchard in New York. Some people think it's where Grand Central Station is now. But they never found his body. He was only 18 years old. He just wanted to be a minister. That's all he wanted to be, was a minister. And he became a captain of spies. And he was, some people say he was betrayed by a cousin. It's always the people who hurt you the most are on the inside. It's the ones, who, like Cicero says, they speak your tongue and they pretend, you know, to be on your team. They're the ones that hurt you the most. I always...
Hang in there, folks. I must have, I think I'm going to have to skip over one segment. Let me see what we got here. Yeah, I didn't upload part 3, but I do have another one for you. This one's epistles, so we'll do that. We got an hour and 2 minutes left. So here we go.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party, part 2. And the Spirit of America Party book. Get my book. You can't tell the players without a scorecard. And you'll get a few chuckles and you'll get your eyes opened. Everything you ever wanted to know about traitors is in that book. We're going to discuss a Jihad Forum. It's a posthumous article by the Coast, a CIA base bomber, Abdul Dijana. name of that Cal Jada Lalo Schifrin tune is called The Fakir. A fakir, I think that that's where we get the word faker. Fakir is supposed to be a holy man who, according to many Arabs, is an imposter and leads people astray using feats of black magic. In my book, I call Osama bin Laden a fakir. He is the mother of all fakirs. He's a mother fakir. We're going to talk about jihad, and we're going to talk about the last will and testament of Abu Dajana. Abu Dajana, who you don't know because the media covered up his evil doings, was converting to Americanism in a coast Afghanistan, and the CIA let their guard down and allowed Abu Dajana to get close enough to kill seven CIA drone operators, among their many jobs. And so, of course, with all suicide bombers, they always leave a suicide note. And they're worshipped for their bravery. So I just wanted to give you an idea of how suicide bombers think, because, like many liberals in the United States, who so foolishly believe they can debate terrorism with terrorists, they will never see the futility of their efforts come to fruition until they are kneeling in front of a cockpit door steeped in pilot blood as Khalid the Virgin Counter reads them the second surah from the Quran and then slices and dices their necks. Yes, liberals will get you killed as sure as God made little green diamonds. And if they were diamond merchants, they honestly believe that they could do show and tell in a high crime area, and after knocking on door number one, you would see them no more. Yeah, give me a break. Okay, on January the 7th, 2010, an online jihadi forum posted a new article written by Coast CIA-based bomber Abu Dajana al-Khorasani, shortly before he embarked on his suicide mission. In the article titled, "When Will My Words Drink My Blood? I Am Now Fit for Publication," Abu Dajana, who was known for his brilliant pro-jihad writings, like Eric Holder, reveals his inner conflict as an advocate of a jihad who does not practice what he preaches. He wrote, "I decided to avoid publishing this article by way of precaution. In accordance with the hadith, in time of trial, seek hiding. However, the sight of the blood of Muslims in Gaza, small children, women, and powerless people who were killed by the bombs of the brethren of apes and pigs encouraged me to publish the article so that it may strengthen the resolve of even a single Muslim in the front lines, and that I will gain reward from Allah." Now, this is what he put on his resume when he applied for a CIA job. And he was given the Major Hassan treatment. No, I'm only kidding. He didn't put that on his resume. You cannot read the mind of a Muslim terrorist. Nobody knows what is in the heart of a Muslim terrorist, and they will not show you until it is time to cut your throat. But you must be very cautious. Never assume that Muslim terrorists think like American peacekeepers. So here, I don't want to give you everything in this, but I will tell you, I'll read some excerpts. I'll take it out of context, as the liberals say when they're accused of betraying the country. "My heart burns to ashes because of my love for jihad. Oh, you write about a jihad and urge people to do it. Beware of falling in the same trap like me. What I fear most is that when I die, I would meet a man who died as a martyr, and the effect of my words, whereas I shall die in bed. So this is their biggest regret, that they're going to die in bed, and they won't take the express train to jihad land. What I can't understand is when these martyrs decide to go express checkout, what about their obligation that God gave them to raise a family and protect the family? What is that? Did they put that on hold? I'll be back in 10,000 years? How can they do this? How can they so selfishly take their life? And in the name of God, God wanted me to do it. God wanted you to protest the killing of innocent women and children in Gaza by killing innocent women and children in Israel? Is that what God told you to do? If God told you to jump off the roof, would you do it? Yeah, give me a break. And what are you going to say to God when you meet him? Are you going to say, I came to claim the 72 virgins? And what is he going to say? And by the way, the 72 virgin count, that didn't start at 72 virgins. All the way, they kept bumping up the number. Finally, the Jews topped the Arabs. The Jews were offering 80 virgins with a coupon. And this is, I am afraid of shameful exposure in the courts of the day of resurrection if I'm not killed by the weapon of my enemy. I'm afraid to be branded as a liar and that my words will be the evidence for my conviction. Whenever I hear of someone who died, I die, and with every illness about which I hear, I become ill. With every passing year, I grow 10 years older. This is Allah's judgment regarding those who stay away from jihad. My words are going to die if I don't save them with my blood, and my emotions will be extinguished. And if I don't kindle them with my death, my articles will testify against me if I don't give them the proof of my being free of hypocrisy. Now, you think you're going to convince this guy to stop the path? O God, I beseech thee, and not to let me die except as a martyr for your sake. O God, I beseech thee that I would be given the chance to massacre your enemies and then be killed under the ruins of a building destroyed by the Jews and the Crusaders. In case you don't know which one you are, have a tequila. And that the rescue people shall not take out my body so that my corpse should turn into human fertilizer that will bring forth fruit upon which a Muslim child shall feed and become a jihad fighter when he grows up. They not only have a 5-year plan, they have a 5-century plan. Martyrdom, how enraptured in it the free men are. It occupies their whole being, so they think of obtaining it before they fall asleep and after they wake up and even in their dreams. There you go. And then he mentions fellow... In the past, I do not wish to be in Gaza, but today I wish it. I want to be a mortar bomb, which the believers shoot in their mortars, saying, Allahu Akbar, when they shoot me. Or I want to be a car bomb, which shall work like a taxi car, bringing the largest possible number of Jews to hell. I feel as though I smell the fragrance of paradise from the direction of Gaza, as though heaven's gates have become wide open to welcome the people of Allah and His chosen ones in the front lines. The front lines expects the likes of Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, Abu Layth al-Libi, Omar Hadid, and Imad Akel. Oh, that martyrdom for the sake of Allah shall be our wish. And Eric Holder wants to bring them to New York for the 911 Part 3 Carnival. But now they're getting cold feet about bringing them to New York because they're afraid that they're all going to be Scott Browned. Yeah, they're going to play the international race card. Yeah. So now all of the whack-a-moles are standing up proudly and saying, I was against bringing them to New York. No, you weren't, Chuck. You sold us out. You little quisling. Bartender, champagne.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything. Two, fame, if you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around her. Make someone happy. Make just one someone happy, and you will be happy too.
Somebody sent me this and in a tight economy, and I thought I'd share it with you. And it's entitled A Social Security of 2009. I couldn't forward this fast enough. 2010 is an election year for one-third of the Senate and one-half of the House of Representatives. It would be nice if Congress got the message the voting taxpayers are in charge now. And don't underestimate this Tea Party movement. It could be a third party in this country. There are a lot of people that like what they see and hear from the Tea Party. What would you have to watch out for is that the Republicans don't take it over, or the Democrats don't try to infiltrate it and destroy it. It would be nice if Congress got the message. The voting taxpayers are in charge now. Social Security of 2009. Let us show our leaders in Washington people power and the power of the Internet. The communists are very successfully through the use of demonstrations, riots, burnouts. They have very successfully intimidated the country. And the silent majority is now getting vocal. So just be sure that nobody hijacks your ideals and goals. Let us show our leaders in Washington people power and the power of the Internet. And it pass this message on to all your friends. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a pro-choice Democrat. Keep it going. Propose a bill to place all politicians on Social Security. Perhaps we're asking the wrong questions during election years. I'll tell you one thing we cannot no longer tolerate. We cannot vote for the lesser of two evils. We got to get rid of both evils, and we got to put somebody in there. Even if he's incompetent, at least he won't hurt us as much as the trained circus seals are. Our senators and congressmen do not pay into Social Security, and of course, they do not collect from it. You see, Social Security benefits were not suitable for persons of their rare elevation in society. They felt they should have a special plan for themselves, so many years ago they voted their own benefit plan. Glenn Beck... they're going to take Glenn Beck down. You watch. They're going to hit him when he's not looking. And it's a good thing he came out and identified his alcoholism in remittance. Is that the right word? In remission. Because they would have smeared him to no end. And they're looking for all the chinks in his armor. And I just hope he is a true blue an American too. You see, Social Security benefits are not for the House and the Senate. In more recent years, no congressperson has felt the need to change it. After all, it is a great plan. For all practical purposes, their plan works like this. When they retire, they continue to draw the same pay until they die. Except it may increase from time to time for cost of living adjustments. For example, Senator Byrd and Congressman White and their wives may expect to draw $7,800,000, with their wives drawing $275,000 during the last years of their lives. This is calculated on an average lifespan for each of the two dignitaries. Younger dignitaries who retire at an early age will receive much more during the rest of their lives. And the cost for this excellent plan is zero. They pay nothing. This little perk was voted for themselves and is free to them. And you and I pay the tab. The funds for this fine retirement plan come directly from the general funds, our tax dollars at work. And I often, every time I think of a couple, a married couple trying to raise kids today, I picture the husband coming in, catching the kid the wife throws him, and the wife going out to work the job that pays the taxes that the combined incomes make. You think about that. Especially when your grandfather's favorite slogan was, "No wife of mine will ever have to work." Yeah, and he was making $60 a week and he was paying his mortgage. From our own Social Security plan, which you and I paid or have paid into every payday until we retire, which amount is matched by our employer, we can expect to get an average of $1,000 a month after retirement. In other words, we should have to collect our average $1,000 a month benefits for 68 years and 1 month to equal Senator Bill Bradley's benefits. And Bill Bradley has been out of politics for how long? Social Security, that's what cracks me up. I mean, if you only have one term of office, you make a bundle. Social Security could be very good if only one small change was made. Jerk the Golden Fleece retirement plan from under the senators and congressmen and put them on the Social Security plan with the rest of us and sit back and see how fast they'll fix it. If enough people receive this, it may be a seed of awareness. How many people can you send this to? Okay, so I just thought I'd share that with you, being that we're Social Security rich. A bartender is champagne. You know what? I wonder if you can get a deduction for living in a house if you change the name of your house to a tax shelter.
When Wilbur will call, and even his night, I hurry to my blue heaven. To the right, you find a little bright light that leads you to my blue heaven. You find a cozy place, fireplace, cozy room, holding that this is where the rose is blue. Just Molly and me, and the baby make free. Be happy in my blue heaven.
lot of money being spent on pills and potions, from health foods to Plavix. And but you know what? One of the best medicines is prayer. And when it comes to spiritual medicine, the Catholic Church has everybody beat, because they have saints for everything.
Hang in there, folks. Thing if it ain't got that swing.
So if you're not feeling like yourself, go Catholic. We have like Saint Anthony for sick animals. We have Saint Gennaro for people who like Italian food. We have Saint Nicholas for Christmas presents. We have Saint Valentine for broken hearts, and we have Saint Blaise for blessing of your throat. And now we have a saint for erectile dysfunction. We have a saint of whack-a-mole. A bartender, a champagne. Doctor, can you give me a prescription for a broken heart?
Write that letter, man!
Yes, gonna write it right now. Write myself a letter, and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses at the bottom, you'll be glad that you got them. I'm gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better, better, better. And smile the way you used to do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter, baby, and make believe it came from you.
Swinging on down that boy.
A letter. Yes, and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write birds so, so sweet. They're gonna knock me off my big flat feet. A lot of kisses at the bottom. You'll be glad that you got them. Gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better.
It is to be a mother raising children today. You have no idea. Back in my time, parents banded together to protect their children and look out for each other. But I came from a generation that won World War II. I was a recipient, a direct recipient of the benefit of American teamwork that won World War II. Today in America, there's no teamwork. That's the problem. The people that came back from World War II, they won the war, the World War II, as a team. They worked together. They knew what they had to do. Everybody had a job to do. Everybody pulled together. Everybody trained everybody. Everybody helped everybody up and down the ladder. I'm watching a Navy battle on the History Channel, and a Marine captain had climbed up on a ship's ammunition locker to get a better picture of the Zeros that were attacking the ships in the fleet. And a sergeant, which they always say sergeants are babysitters for lieutenants, the sergeant said, "Lieutenant, sir, you better come down off of there. That's not a good place to be." So the lieutenant immediately took the savvy advice, and he jumped off the locker, and he landed, as his feet hit the deck, a piece of shrapnel tore into the ammunition locker, and that lieutenant is now a gray-haired, a senior citizen, is still telling the story. Okay? And that's what built this country. Mom stayed behind and worked in the factory. Pop went and fought the enemy. Okay? And in 4 years, let's face it, they kicked ass on four different continents. They even stopped the Japanese from coming to Australia. Okay? So, and then they came home. And the industrial base that Mom contributed to, Rosie the Riveter and all those gals, the teamwork base was in place for us to become the greatest industrial power in the United States. And we were number one until we were sold out from within, when the Rosenbergs gave the atomic bomb secrets to Joseph Stalin and the Communist Party. Okay? And then everybody tried to play catch-up. But the people who came home, who won World War II, were all team players. And they went back into industry, and they became the sales execs, the operational execs, the workers, and they all pulled together to build their country. Their country and their company, and they were in on the ground floor of the greatest profit-making reward that took place in this country. They kept prices down and profits up, and everybody made a buck. When you hear Chuck Schumer talking about we're going to take down Exxon, Chuck Schumer is talking about taking down the American people. Because everybody has a 401k, and Exxon is one of the shares of stock. So when Chuck Schumer talks about taking down Exxon, he's talking about taking you down. And he don't care. He wants you dependent on Chuck. He wants to make sure he never gets fired. And the only way he can never get fired is if he turns his constituents into tax junkies. And that's what he does. And that's why Chuck should be fired. And he never protested bringing Al-Qaeda to New York. That's the greatest betrayal of 9-1-1. I remember the day he stood on the DNA dust of butchered Americans and said, "I love this city." He loved it so much that he wanted Al-Qaeda to come back and do it again. He never said boo. Now he's going to get vociferous. Yeah. And I hope that the doctor diagnoses it as an STD. But anyway, so these people came back from World War II, and the women didn't have the jobs the men had. The women were second-class citizens. Let me tell you, many a boss brought his secretary up the ladder when he got started, and when he knew that his stock was taken off, he would say to that secretary, who's not your grandmother, "Mary, why don't you pick up some shares of stock? And the company looks like they're going to do pretty good this year." And Mary took her egg money and she put it in stock. And Mary owned Xerox, she owned IBM, and Mary made a fortune. And now everybody's waiting for Mary to die so they can get their legacy. Yeah. "I love you, Grandma." Yeah. Why does she have to have the oxygen? Can't she live without it? Yeah, you don't think that doesn't happen? Let me tell you something. You never want to be in a house after Grandma dies and see who comes through the door looking for the jewelry. As a matter of fact, in the movie Patton, at the Battle of the Kasserine Pass, George Patton has just appeared on the battle scene, the aftermath of the battle, and he looks over the aftermath of the battle, and there are Bedouins rifling through the remains of the American GIs who were wiped out by the Germans, and they're pulling their boots off and they're stripping their clothes and their watches. And I, when I saw that in the movie, I turned to my wife. I said, "That's my family." Hang in there, and we'll tell you. Oh, I wanted to tell you something cute. We were talking about how the media is pushing the obscene vulgarity envelope, and now they've gone from introducing ass to piss. And like you'll hear a lot of people say, "I'm pissed off." All right, you never heard that. And I told you before, my father was pushing a baby carriage, and he'd come to the corner. It'd be 10 wise guys standing on the corner, and they'd be cursing. And he would turn to all 10 of them and say, "Knock it off, this kid's here." He didn't say, "Well, there's 10 of them, and there's only one of me." He said, "Knock it off, this kid's here." All right? And it reminds me of a story of a buddy of mine who is very peace-loving. And he was online one cold morning day to get on the bus, and a guy bumped the line, and he said, "You're bumping the line," and the guy wouldn't move. So he punched him in the nose. And another time he was on a bus, they were going on a ski trip, and there were a bunch of wise guys sitting in the back smoking marijuana that they now want to legalize because they all got glaucoma. And he said, put the joints out, fellas. He was with his kids. And they laughed at him. So he went in the back and he talked to them. And they put him out. Yeah, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Good has to prevail over evil all the time. So we were talking about what's happening with the new vulgar buzzwords being introduced in the media. And now they've gotten to the point where they're talking about getting late. Yep, and Fox News, Imus in the Morning told Monica Crowley she needs to get laid. How's that? This guy must have the biggest mouth in America and the biggest boot, because his foot is always in his mouth. If they have a logo for Imus, they should show him with a boot, a bigger than a Stetson hat, in his mouth. Unbelievable. This guy doesn't learn. He doesn't learn. He called a women's basketball team nappy-headed hoes, and he turned to Al Sharpton to bail him out, and Al Sharpton threw him overboard. Right? And he can't wait to kiss Al Sharpton. He goes back to all the people who betrayed him. Yeah. He doesn't learn, this guy. And Monica should have held up with a little better decorum. And she started to prove to him that she's regular. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't say anything. I want to go back to the days of Southern Bells, who got the vapors and passed out in a man's arms. But anyway, okay. So that's an example of vulgarity in action. Now, you got women who won't let their kids watch TV, raising kids today. They won't let their kids near a television. That's like giving cocaine to Edgar Allan Poe. So, or Gene Krupa. Or giving a Playboy magazine to Tiger Woods. Yeah, who, by the way, just ordered 20 pajamagrams. He's cutting down from 35. And so you have women who are raising their children, and they're trying to keep them away from the evil that men do, and the evil words that are abounding in the media. And a woman that I know and love has two children, a boy, 3, and a girl, 18 months. And the girl is just learning to talk. She does an impersonation of Queen Elizabeth. When you say, do Queen Elizabeth, she goes, "Hello." And so her mother is married to a very tall guy, and he puts the canned goods away very high. And she was jumping up to get a can of tomato paste, and it landed on her toe and broke her toe. And of course, there was an exclamation. And the exclamation was, "Oh, frick." But it really wasn't frick, but it sounded like a frick. And guess what? Her daughter now looks at her toe and says, "Oh, frick." And there you go. You know? You just have to make a mistake. It's like Pierre de Sissy. That's a joke about Pierre de Sissy. I can't tell it to you. But it says, but Pierre is an architect, and he says, I created the Eiffel Tower. And did they call me Pierre? Did they call me Pierre the architect? No. He said, I designed the Eiffel Tower. Did they call me Pierre as the engineer? No. But kiss one buttock. Okay. And that's the way it goes. Make one mistake and you live with it forever. So now when her daughter looks at her toe, or if somebody, don't look at your toes when you're around this kid, you're going to get shot. Let me see what we're going to talk about. Hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, the other president of the United States. Being that we're so entertainment oriented, maybe the president should come out with a couple of jokes. You know, maybe he should do a monologue before he goes into serious talk, like the dollar isn't worth anything today. But you hear the one about the two Iranians walking down the street? How you doing, boys and girls? The good news today is that the Al Qaeda chatter is up, and the next strike should reduce the New York unemployment again. Thank you, President Buckman and Mayor Bloomingdale. This Bloomingdale, he is sharp, right? He saw the tide of the tide turning against him. He was going to be Scott Brown, and he decided to oppose the trial in New York. Now, he said it was going to cost $1 billion, and Chuck Schumer says it was only going to cost $75 million. Yeah. It goes to show you, politicians, the wide range that they operate in. It has been suggested that the Eric Holder rigged monkey trials for Al-Qaeda be held on Governor's Island, which is a good idea because most bad Muslim terrorists, as compared to good Muslim terrorists, can't swim. We can call it Little Gitmo, and we can change the slogan to One Nation Under Caterpillar, or One Nation Under Guard. Did you see O'Reilly giving the Buck Stops Here boy a pass last night? Didn't he look like John Kerry about to be executed by the Catholic Church? Sarah Palin was right about Harvard graduates. They all suck. I'm so tired of hearing about this guy is a Harvard graduate. Or what's the other one? He got an award. What's the one that's named after a senator that sold out the country? Bill Clinton got it, whatever that award is. Fulbright scholarship. Yeah. Okay. We got a new party platform as of tonight. Where first off, all the Democrats and Republicans are under arrest, and they're being charged with petty larceny because they're so petty. Our platform is easy. It's a very simple platform. And you know what? We can pay all the national debt in 1 year. Of course, the House and the Senate are going to have to work for minimum wage, but we'll allow them to set pins in the bowling alley. Close borders. That's it, man. Borders closed. How was that? Was that easy? Close the borders. Wave. Wave from the other side. Wave back, everybody. Wave back. No visas. What do you want to come here? Why do you want to come here? I want to kill Americans. Oh, okay. Did you fit your bomb in the go/no-go gauge at the airport? You're Al Qaeda. Oh, why didn't you say you were Al Qaeda? Sure, come right on in. No visas. Sorry, no matter where you're from, you can't get a visa. We put the UK on the terrorist watch list next to France. We arrest Interpol. We open the oil spigots in California so they can pay the rest of the country back instead of leeching off us. I think that the symbol for all tax collectors should be a leech. They should have a card that shows a giant leech on it. I had a guy come visit me the other day. It's one of those surprise visits from the city where they come in looking for fine money. You know, they'll get you on something and find you. And he goes, I want to see your workman's compensation chart. I says, I have no workers. I should have told him, I have no workers because you fired them all. You made it hard for them to earn a living. They're all gone. It's just me. And he didn't believe me. He was so disappointed he couldn't get me on something. Isn't that great? I once had a fire inspection where I passed and they went and 10 firemen walked out of my building and they came back in. They said, the lieutenant says, we've got to find something. How's that? Yeah. And we're going to help little business. We're for the little guy. Yeah, we're for the little guy. Stand him up against the wall. Okay, just one round. Bullets are getting expensive. Cola's good. Drill, baby, drill. No dial one after 90 days crash English course. Comprende? There's only one language. You want to see what this country used to be like? Go back to the 50s. Or the communists will tell you the 50s were no good. You know why the 50s were no good for the communists? Because we pushed them back in Korea. We South Korea today exists because of American willpower. And South Korean willpower to continue after we got them their country back. We get a lot of people their country back. Did you know that? Ask a Kuwaiti. I love America. Everybody in America is my friend. Yeah. Deport illegal immigrants except my gardener. And I said, no dial one. I was going to tell you. You got to see, if you want to see what communism can do to a country, there is a parallel movie that gives you a good idea of what communism is like and how they operate. And it's called The Manchurian Candidate. Don't get the new Hollywood version because that was done by communists. Get the old Hollywood version with Frank Sinatra, Angela Lansbury. The woman lives forever. God bless her. Do you know that she had a kid that had a drug problem? And she took him to Ireland. You know, if she took him to Ireland today, the kid would have a bigger drug problem. Ireland was the last country to fall to drugs. How's that? And they'll be the last one to fall to abortions. What they'll do is they'll move Notre Dame over there. The Notre Dame Clinic. Okay, so having said that, the movie is The Manchurian Candidate, Frank Sinatra, Lawrence Harvey, Angela Lansbury, and the one scene that'll crack you up is there's a knock on the door, and it's, I think his name is Harry De Silva, and he plays a North Korean undercover communist, and he has managed to get a visa to the United States. And he knocks on Lawrence Harvey's door, who's the Manchurian candidate, who's been brainwashed, and he applies for a job. And Lawrence Harvey is a snooty East Side New Yorker. And he looks down his nose and he says, why would I hire you? He says, I can cook. He says, I have a cook. He says, I can sew. He says, I have a cook. He says, I can be translator. He says, translator? Ha, ha, ha. This is America. We all speak English here. You watch that. You play that clip. And then go look in the mirror and say, what have I done to my country? Hang in there. Did you like that one? Deport all illegal immigrants except my gardener?
Remember, the Republicans were trying to pass off Linda Chavez as a Latino American, a Latino American, and then they found out that she had an illegal immigrant, that she was paying under minimum wage, and she had to drop out of qualifying for the post of labor secretary. Oh, they're all crooked. I'm telling you, get rid of them all. If you know what? You go to work every in the morning and you see your cash register is empty and it was full the night you left. You know what you got to do? You got to get rid of everybody. If you can't identify the crook, you got to get rid of everybody. Sorry, that's the way it goes. New broom sweeps clean. And that's one thing that Bush didn't do. He didn't sweep clean. He should have got rid of everybody that was a Clinton holdover. Instead, he left people to hurt him and stab him in the back. And that was one of his big mistakes. And his other big mistake was saying that he loved Rumsfeld and then threw him out of, under the bus instead of decorating his Christmas tree. Deport illegal immigrants except my gardener. Turn Democrat abortion chop shops into daycare centers. How can people, how can white people go to Africa, adopt a black baby, when they're killing 1.4 million Americans at home? That baby in Africa may die of lack of education or starvation, but that baby in America is being torn to pieces. Wouldn't it be more Samaritan-like to save the baby that was spawned in the land of your birth? I don't know. I don't know. George Patton said, "The rest of the world better learn to take care of itself, because if America tries to take care of the rest of the world, we'll go broke." And guess what? You said it. $8 billion to the Turks not to let us land in Iraq. And we walked away giving them $8 billion after they said no. What, do we got rocks in our head? And the rocks aren't even diamonds. We're paying the Palestinians and the Israelis not to fight each other. And they're fighting each other anyway. How is that a return on investment? Where's the return on investment? And you know what? I read something surprising. In 1812, the little tiny fledgling United States of America raised $50,000. The government gave $50,000 in aid to Venezuela after an earthquake in 1812. That's how long we've been taking care of earthquake victims. And what does Hugo Chavez do? He seizes American oil companies. And that's how they pay us back. Hugo Chavez, who today is gunning down his fellow Venezuelans, the ones who allowed him to win reinfection. And he's gunning them down. And you know what he's killing them with? AK-47s that he bought $4 billion worth. Do you know how many AK-47s $4 billion buys? He's Russia's number one customer. Isn't that wonderful? And he bought some submarines. Now, you don't think the submarines are for naval warfare, do you? The submarines are for smuggling cocaine. Guess where? Who's got the money? Junior. Junior needs to get high this weekend. Junior, your drug addict son is feeding communism and terrorism. But Junior will never be brought to trial and given 25 years in jail like an American soldier for shooting back, rotting away in Fort Leavenworth. How's that? Fort Leavenworth. 25 years for serving your country. And he thought he was going to be out in 20 with a career pension. And instead, he's going to be rotting in a cell. And nobody knows his name. I don't even know his name. I heard it mentioned on Savage, who says he's going to donate money for him. Play the Star Spangled Banner on TV during the Connell Rad test. You know, you're watching a movie at 1:35 in the morning, and all of a sudden, right in the middle of the best part of the movie, they run this Connell Rad test. You know, this is a security alert. We're checking to make sure that we'll have control of the airwaves when the first nuke goes off. How come instead of that message and that beep, 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 why don't you play the Star Spangled Banner while you're doing the test? Nobody will hear the hissing.
Hang in there, folks.
Move the drug-free zone from 2 blocks to 3 blocks from communist cucumber schools and pay the Congress what they're worth in dimes. And we also are going to pass a law to teach Americans how to speak English with a foreign accent so they can blend in their own country. Can you say, I love this country, everything free?
From the table up at Birdland to the place where Dizzy dwells, in the beards and the funny hats they love so well, all the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly-oo, Scooby-Goo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Yes, they're poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. But every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they
Bye-bye. You hear Louis Armstrong? So, Lord have mercy. That's the same Lord that the ACLU wants to get out of the country as quickly as possible. Yep. How about we get the ACLU out of the country as quickly as possible? Aren't they an effrontery to Americanism? Every day, the anti-American movement scurries out of the rat's nest and continues the takedown of America. In the courts, in the political groups, and in the media, under code names like Americans for This and the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, NBC, Newsweek, the New York Times, the Boston Globe, who just called the Coakley win by 15 points, and Harry Truman can't stop laughing in heaven. The communist brain laundering shampoo began right after World War II, when Ethel and Julius Rosenberg betrayed the nation and gave the atomic bomb to their father, Joseph Stalin. No one ever told me how they got the secrets and where all the other bodies are buried. Today, communism dominates all phases of American life, from classrooms to condo associations who have flag rules.
Friday, Glenn Beck is going to expose Che Guevara, the Pope of the Communist Council of Churches. They even infiltrate all religion. Wait till Al-Qaeda discovers they're working for the KGB. More AK-47s, comrade. In Venezuela, the people are limited to 3-minute group showers, while El Cinco Chavez gives the KGB a $4 billion for AK-47s and drug submarines with jacuzzis. Now we have a spread, the wealth president, who came in with $4 million of his own cookie jar money, and his goal is to graduate with the same $137 million the Clintons report having made in government. Nice work if you can get it. While communists cry bread for the poor who survive, their pecking order gives them summer homes on the Black Sea. Fidel Castro was reported to be worth $637 million USD, not including the drug money for the number one USA import. But a peasant who had a furniture factory in his house before he was liberated now makes a storm windows for the people. Same house, but Castro owns it, comrade. In order to learn how much freedom America has lost, just go to any New York public school and watch 50% of the class refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance and 20% turn their backs on the flag. Early bird sex is encouraged under the guise of AIDS prevention, yet no one knows the capital of Honduras. Yet two generations ago, kids used to pray in public schools. Some schools even had rifle ranges. Now all there is a two-block warning, leave your drugs at home, but the kids are afraid to leave their drugs at home because mom and dad will use them. And drugs is another form of communist conditioning. You have no idea how much freedom you have lost. The primary goal of communism is one world order. It begins with the appointment of czars. It ends with giving 9/11 Muslim murderers American rights and communist show trials at the scene of the crime. This week, a handful of Americans with a conscience are going to Little Moscow, D.C., to beg for the lives of 300,000 black babies murdered every year since Roe versus Wade made child murder, as Heinrich Himmler Schumer calls it, a settled law. Just like the Nazi Nuremberg laws were settled law. Add to that number another 1,100,000 assorted babies, and when you reach 1.4, multiply it by 6 years, and Hitler, we got you beat! If you multiply the annual kill by 4, it is the entire population of Haiti. If you multiply it by 27, it's in the entire population of Ireland, including farm animals. The next pro-choice politician, pro-no-choice, really, show me a baby who survived a pro-choice abortion. If you multiply, and where, show me the baby pictures. If you multiply the annual kill by 4, I said that already, the next pro-no-choice politician who calls us civilized needs a bone through his nose. Cannibals kill less. Tonight there's a grumbling in Iraq. We don't have enough troops to fight in one more country. We are 500,000 frontline combat troopers short, and Afghan relief columns are being sent to Haiti to do FEMA work. What happened to the Peace Corps? Where are all the activists? Where are all the anti-military pinkos now that they can bury the dead killed by nature? What, no rally around the hammer and sickle, comrade? Where is Casey Sheehan's mother with her shovel? The only American Danny Glover ever rescued was in the movies, yet he killed a few cabbies in New York with the race card. Those cabbies were Dominican, by the way. So he may not want to go to Haiti. He may have to land in the Republic and face some cabbies' relatives. A bartender, play me a sad tune.
No one likes us. I don't know why.